Okay. Today's episode should be a little bit of fun because we're going to take one of the most famous ads or sales letters that shows up in so many copywriters' swipe files, and we're going to look at the real story behind it. And for anybody who has been mindlessly studying this ad, mindlessly saying, this is what a good sales letter looks like, I'm going to cause you to question that based on some industry insider information inside this black book. I have an exact quote to read to you here. So I want to start with this ad, and it's going to be familiar to you. It's the Wall Street Journal Two Young Men ad. And the way the story goes is, initially, this was presented, okay, this ad sold over $1 billion in Wall Street Journal subscriptions, and I'm not going to discount that. That is super powerful, super awesome, super great that that happened. And in fact, with a little bit more historical research, there has been some people connecting the dots and saying that it actually may be responsible for more than $2 billion in revenue for the Wall Street Journal. And so, understandably, it's called one of the greatest sales letters ever. And yet, at the same time, what you're going to see today kind of debunks the standing of this ad as maybe one of the best sales letters ever and brings it down a notch to maybe a really good sales letter. So let's dive into the ad itself and the real story that will help you understand, number one, why this may not be nearly as good of an ad as we think, and number two, what you can do to run the most powerful ads, copywriting, sales letters, you know, whatever the marketing message is, how you can run the most powerful possible, and that's all in today's episode. These are the proven direct response marketing, copywriting, and entrepreneurship success strategies you can use today to write your own ticket and create the life you want. I am Roy Furr, and this is Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. Now, here's today's breakthrough. Okay, I'm going to pop right over into screen sharing to start this out. And this has been called, as you can see in this particular PDF that I have of it, the most successful letter in the history of the world. And you're going to have to listen if you're listening to the podcast, the audio version. This is the fabled Two Young Men letter written by freelancer Martin Conroy, first sent out in 1974 and mailed continuously for over 25 years. And again, it probably contributed at least $1 billion in subscription revenue to the Wall Street Journal and potentially more than $2 billion. So this may sound familiar to you. It's on Wall Street Journal masthead or letterhead. Dear reader, on a beautiful late spring afternoon 25 years ago, two young men graduated from the same college. They were very much alike, these two young men. Both had been better than average students. Both were personable, and both, as young college graduates are, were filled with ambitious dreams for the future. Recently, these men returned to their college for their 25th reunion. They were still very much alike. Both were happily married, both had three children, and both, it turned out, had gone to work for the same Midwestern manufacturing company after graduation and were still there. But there was a difference. One of the men was manager of a small department of that company. The other was its president. What made the difference? Have you ever wondered, as I have, what makes this kind of difference in people's lives? It isn't a native intelligence or talent or dedication. It isn't that one person wants success and the other doesn't. The difference lies in what each person knows and how he or she makes use of that knowledge. And that is why I'm writing to you and to people like you about the Wall Street Journal. For that is the whole purpose of the journal, to give its readers knowledge that they can use in business. A publication unlike any other. You see, the Wall Street Journal is a unique publication, and goes on and it talks about, you know, how valuable the Wall Street Journal and its knowledge is, and then it offers a subscription. Subscribe for the next 13 weeks for just $44. It's a fairly straight subscription offer after that with some benefits of the Wall Street Journal. And of course, like, people read this and they're like, oh, and they hear that it generated $1 billion or $2 billion in subscription revenue for the Wall Street Journal, and they think, oh, like, that's awesome. This is worth copying. This is awesome. It's unique. And arguably, let's go back to just direct camera. Arguably, maybe the core idea is worth copying, because some research has been done, some advertising research and legwork, and people discovered that actually Martin Conroy, in 1974, when this ad was first circulated, when the sales letter was first circulated, Martin Conroy almost certainly copied an ad from the American magazine. It was an ad run by the Alexander Hamilton Institute, and it ran from 1918 to 1921. There's a number of other ads that are similar to it. And the ad from the Alexander Hamilton Institute is the story of two men who fought in the Civil War. From a certain little town in Massachusetts, two men went to the Civil War. Each of them had enjoyed the same educational advantages, and so far as anyone could judge, their prospects for success were equally good. We're skipping a little bit forward. The difference in the two men was not a difference of capacity, but a difference in decision. One man saw the after-the-war tide of expansion, trained himself for executive opportunity, and so swam with the tide. The other man merely drifted. The history of these two men will be repeated in hundreds of thousands of lives in the next few months. So again, like, it's very much the story of the two young men, right? So, okay, so maybe it's worth swiping. It worked for the Alexander Hamilton Institute. It worked for the Wall Street Journal. And it did okay. It did actually very well for them. But here is where the black book comes in, this little black book of industry insider information. This book is called Confessions of a Direct Mail Guy by Gordon Grossman. And it was published by Bottomline Books. Brian Kurtz, his company, I say his company because I work with Brian Kurtz on the Titans of Direct Response and on some other stuff. He worked for Marty Edelstein, who was the founder of Boardroom Bottom Line. And one of Marty's passions was to publish information about marketing and selling and direct response. And Gordon was a consultant who worked for Boardroom, also worked for Reader's Digest at the time that the two young men letter was circulating. And here is why I am saying that this letter is probably not nearly as good or as swipe worthy as so many people have made it out to be. I firmly believe, and I'm gonna do some reading from the book. I firmly believe that any advertising or sales copy starts to decay and die the moment it is written. There are apparent exceptions to this rule. One that is often cited is the Two Young Men letter from the Wall Street Journal. This letter tells the story of two young men graduating from the same university with apparently identical credentials. When they met again 20 years later, one was president of the world's largest corporations, the other was a failure. The difference in their careers, of course, was that the one who made it to the top read the Wall Street Journal faithfully, while the other did not. He says, this letter became quite famous largely because the Wall Street Journal mailed it for more than three decades. It is regularly reprinted in advertising textbooks. What is not mentioned is that the Wall Street Journal had just about the least effective direct mail promotion in the industry. They never tested anything materially different, never varied their offer, never allowed a splash of color to enliven their mailings, invariably clothed them in the dullest envelopes they could find, and somehow lived with a response rate of about 0.3%. At this level, their mailings never made a ripple in the marketplace. Copy that is virtually unread and almost never acted upon doesn't wear out very fast. For practical purposes, it almost doesn't exist in the first place. And he goes on to talk about how at Reader's Digest, they were consistently testing. They were constantly testing that they had certain offers that were generating response rates of 15% or more. They said basically as soon as they had a control, they were beating up the control. And as soon as something was working, they were hiring people and they were running tests over and over again to try and make the next thing work better and the next thing work better and the next thing work better. And that was the difference between a direct mail, a direct marketing department that was generating as much as 15% response on certain promotions that, yeah, once 15% of your list has responded to your offer, it's going to fatigue really fast, versus the Wall Street Journal that was just mailing and mailing and mailing and mailing the heck out of something that got 0.3 response. So Matt Bakkenstedt from Copy Legends actually, as of last week, when you're watching this, if you're watching it when it's published, he actually mailed this out, and I sent him an email. He mailed out a link to the Wall Street Journal Two Young Men letter, and I sent him an email, and I said, Matt, I'm going to completely debunk that letter, and I'm going to debunk it and show how it's an example of sheer marketing stupidity based on industry insider information. So Gordon, who was watching from the direct mail department of Reader's Digest and paying attention to the Wall Street Journal as they were just mailing this thing over and over again for three decades, he was able to recognize that from an industry insider perspective, this thing was not doing very well. It was not making waves. It was not generating response. And so they could just keep blanketing the country with this letter. And so when you think about learning copywriting, when you think about swiping, when you think about copying other people's ideas or mechanisms in the copy, you really do have to be careful, because what is perceived from the outside as a big winner is not always going to be a big winner when implemented. And oftentimes, when it's perceived from the outside as a big winner, that is a misperception. What is even more powerful for you as a direct marketer is to understand that, yeah, you could take something like the Two Young Men letter, and you could copy it, and you could swipe it, and you could come up with a message on your own. But then you test it against something else, and you test it against something else, and you test it against something else. And this goes all the way back to like scientific advertising, Claude Hopkins. It goes back to like, we only know what is the winner through market tests. And the way that we actually create great advertising is not by just copying what's worked before or what presumably has worked before, but the way that we create great advertising, powerful copywriting, is by we try something. If it works, we keep using it for a while as our control. But then our job is immediately to try and beat the control, to try and come up with something that works better, and something that works better, and something that works better. And it's to adopt a scientific advertising mindset where, yeah, we're going to run with something that's working, but especially in the context of today's media environment where it's like things like get market saturated, if something is working, it's going to be seen by everybody almost instantly. And then you have to replace it with the next thing, the next hook. And you can't just rely on something to run for 30 years anymore and generate $2 billion in revenue. You have to be constantly innovating, testing, and the testing is the important part, and having a control and beating the control and continuing to grow that way. And if you're interested in like the thinking behind that, the psychology behind that, if you haven't yet picked it up, I strongly encourage you to grab a copy of Scientific Advertising by Claude Hopkins. It was originally written and published in 1923, and it's still the best book on internet marketing because it's all the thinking behind scientific advertising, scientific testing, the type of principles that Gordon Grossman was using in the 1970s, 1980s, 1990s, 2000s at Reader's Digest and Boardroom and his other clients. To actually generate big response rates. That all goes back to Claude Hopkins and scientific advertising. It goes back to that testing. And I actually offer a free audiobook version of scientific advertising as well as the PDF that you can download. It's at freescientificadvertising.com. That's freescientificadvertising.com. The link is in the description with this episode. And I'll also include a link. I recorded a training. It's about an hour and 45 minutes long where I took the 21 principles in scientific advertising and I broke them down based on how they apply today. We have the internet. We have all this tracking capabilities and all this analytics capabilities and all this testing capabilities. And so how do they apply to marketers today? And that's Scientific Advertising in the 21st Century. I'll include a link to that in the description with this episode as well. You can check both of those out. You can grab the free copy of Scientific Advertising and then my updating of the principles for today's marketplace. And hey, like, yeah, okay, so you can use a swipe file. You can use ad swipes. You can take hooks and you can take ideas and you can take like setups. You can take that sort of thing from copywriters of the past. And sometimes they are going to work really well. And at the same time, you should always be testing those against your current control. And as soon if they become the control, you should always be testing new things against it. And that's way more powerful than studying some old ad and saying, oh, I'm just gonna write a two young men letter because it worked for the Wall Street Journal for 30 years and I don't even know the full story behind it, right? So I'm Roy Furr, this is Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. Let me know in the comments below, on a scale of 1 to 10, how valuable did you find this and why? What are your action items? What are your takeaways? What did you get out of this? What new perspective did this give you on copywriting or testing or marketing in general, etc.? So leave that in the comments below. Tap the like button before you go so you get more content like this delivered to you. And so the magical algorithms of the internet will know to share this with more people like you who will find it valuable. And of course, you can share it with folks directly if you think they'd find it valuable. And finally, subscribe before you go. You can subscribe here. You can also go to breakthroughmarketingsecrets.com. All the links are in the description where you can sign up for my free daily episodes for copywriters, marketers, entrepreneurs, covering those topics and more. That's in the daily emails. There are also more exclusive benefits for becoming an email subscriber. One last time, I'm Roy Furr. This is Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. I always aim for 10 out of 10 value. I hope I've delivered it here and I will catch you soon with your next big breakthrough. Thank you once again for tuning in to this daily episode of Breakthrough Marketing Secrets. Remember, check out the links with this episode for even more value. Now make sure you like, comment, share, subscribe, and engage in every way you can to keep this show going and growing and delivering daily value to you. I'll catch you soon for your next big breakthrough.